In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God tempts no one. He wants no one to sin, no one to turn away from Him, no one to perish eternally in hell, so God tempts no one. He wants all people to believe in Him and to come to the knowledge of the truth and to live holy and godly lives so they may live forever in blessed communion with Him. So God tempts no one. The devil tempts. The devil is a fallen angel, created by God to be holy and righteous, to live forever with God and man in a wonderful union. He rebelled against God, and so was thrown out of heaven. Rage now consumes him because he knows his time is short. Soon the heavens will part, soon the trumpet will sound, soon the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and soon that devilish angel will be thrown into hell's dungeon, forever to be tortured, writhing in agony and pain for all eternity. He is not and will never be the ruler of hell, but he is the chief prisoner. Hell was created for him and for his fallen angels. But not yet. He's not stuck in hell just yet. God allows him to roam the earth for a time. Woe to the earth, for the devil has gone down to you to deceive the nations. His purpose is simple. He has one goal in mind: to drag you down into hell with him. He never sleeps. He never takes a break. Never gets distracted, never grows weary or tired, but he has his sights set on you, ready and willing to do whatever it takes to get you where he will go. He knows this is his last hour, so he works even harder. And he would deceive even the elect if that were possible. Understand, the devil is not God, so he does not have the attributes of God. He cannot be everywhere at once. He does not know all things, and he is not all-powerful. But he is smarter, stronger, and swifter than you and I are. So pay attention, be alert, and understand his attacks so that you may know how to withstand them. His greatest weapons are not shootings. They are not terrorist attacks or plagues or diseases or famines, though he greatly delights in all these things and will use them if given the opportunity. But his greatest weapon are his words. It's psychological warfare. He wants your heart. He's a liar and the father of lies, so he can do nothing else but lie. He never speaks the truth, never builds up, never encourages, never steers in the right direction, but always directs away from God. So it's not so much what he does, but what he says after that catastrophe. He never will direct someone toward God in repentant faith. And so they are going away from God, perhaps to trust in their own self, their own strength, and their own abilities to prevent future catastrophes from happening. You see, his lies are not irrational. And they're not always even immoral. They seem to make sense quite often, and they also seem to advance society. Let's agree to disagree. Set aside our differences, he says. For can't you see that we have bigger problems in society than just this infighting between Christians? Let's all just get along so we can deal with the greater enemies. And so he steers away from God. Don't be tricked by his caring smile or sympathetic ear. For the devil knows full well that if he said, "Jesus is not your Savior," you would not listen. He knows full well that if he appeared with jagged wings, a devilish face, and horns, you would quickly run away. So he appears as an angel of light to deceive. He looks kind and good and moral. He's respectable and honorable. He even carries a Bible under his arm and is ready and willing to quote it at a moment's notice. And he knows that word far better than you and I ever could. So don't be deceived by what he looks like, but pay attention to what is said. For he comes as a friend, a teacher, a government official, a parent, a child, even a pastor, to trick and to deceive and lead away from Christ. Listen. Listen to what is said after such catastrophes. Listen to what he says. He does not care if you're a good person. He does not care if you're kind and moral and you help your neighbor and even give to those in need. He does not care in the least if you are pro-life or stand for traditional family values. He does not even care if you go to church every Sunday, read your Bible on a daily basis, and know everything Jesus did. But he does not want you to trust God. He wants you to hold back just a little bit. To hedge your bets. Checks and balances is how we run our country. It's even how we run our life. So it's how Satan wants us to run our spiritual life as well. God needs a check and a balance. He needs something to make sure he is doing what he's supposed to be doing, and that's us. It's what he convinced Eve of in the garden as well. He convinced Eve that God was withholding something from her. He hadn't given her every good and perfect gift. And he convinces you of the same. A loving God would never allow such things to happen, he says. A loving God would protect his people, especially innocent people. So can you really trust him to protect you and to defend you? He wants you to shift your focus away from God and toward yourself, and what you can do to protect yourself. A loving God would never withhold happiness from you, he says. Can you really trust him to give you everything that you need when he doesn't multiply your bread and fish, and yet you sit in frustration and worry and struggle and suffering? Can you really trust him to give you everything you need when you have gone without? He wants you to hedge your bets. He wants you to trust in God only so far, but not completely. And how often we succumb. Lord, forgive us. And he does. The Lord does forgive. For this is why Jesus stepped into our place and was led out by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Satan is far too strong for Adam, and even for sinful us. So Christ himself stands in our place as our substitute, our brother. And Satan licked his chops. He saw man, and he knew how weak and helpless man was. So he doesn't approach Christ with a sword or a spear or guns, but with a word of doubt. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Can you really trust your Father to provide for you when he has given you absolutely nothing for 40 days? We succumb, but Christ overcomes with the Word of God. He's content with what his Father has given him, even if that means nothing. If you really are the Son of God, jump from that temple. After all, God has promised to send his holy angels to protect you. Imagine how awestruck the people below will be when they see those angels swoop down and catch you in their arms. Everyone will believe in you. We succumb. Christ overcomes with the word of God. He's content to take the stairs. If you just bow down and worship me, you can avoid the cross, the pain, the agony, the suffering, the death. You will accomplish all things. We succumb, but Christ overcomes with the word of God. He's content with the Father's plan of salvation and willingly carries it out. Do not underestimate these temptations. They were real and they were hard to endure. And Christ silenced his divine power to fight as a man so that his victory might be for all mankind. Fury blinded the devil, He knew that if he could get Christ to fall, he would have all people for all eternity, but he overestimated his lies. In arrogance, the devil attacked, and it was Christ who overcame. And thus you are saved. And so this is your Savior, weak and famished and hungry for having gone without food for 40 days. This is your Savior, dragged around by Satan to temple pinnacle and to mountaintop. And so he is able to help you, regardless of what you face in your life. No temptation is unique to you. Christ has endured them all. He has overcome them all, whether you are male or female, a teenager or an adult. Christ knows what you are going through. And so he's able to help you in your time of need. He has overcome it all so that this victory might be yours through faith. The devil is a blind fool driven by rage. Filled with fury, he drove Christ to the very hill that would crush his head. And as Christ hung on that cross, he once again attacked. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. For can you really trust your God and Father to take care of you when he has turned his back on you? Will you really trust in God when he appears to be against you? And yet Christ's worship remains perfect. Even as he sits in the pit of hell, he still trusts in his Father for all good things. He has overcome. Where Adam has failed, Christ has succeeded. Satan has lost. That tree of knowledge of good and evil is no more. But the tree of life, still stands on Calvary's hill so that you may eat of its divine fruit and live. So take and eat, and Christ's victory is made yours. He crushed Satan's head so that you might tread upon the cobra and trample that great serpent. For Satan cannot harm you in the least. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. Oh yes, he's gotten the best of you. But do not be afraid. Trust in the Lord. The Lord is your strength and your shield. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, even if he appears to be withholding something from you. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. For you are his dear children, and he is your dear Father. Christ has crushed Satan's head. The victory is his. And in word and sacrament, he makes that victory yours as well. So you might overcome every evil attack. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.